A Monday morning update from Nepal on aid after the quake. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. You've been hearing the latest assessments of deaths in Nepal and beyond following Saturday's earthquake and aftershocks. This morning, we reached Sanjay Dakkal, a reporter for the BBC's Nepali service, on a line from Kathmandu. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David.
So on this third day into this disaster, Sanjay, are you seeing signs that aid is getting to some people in need?
There are lots of tents being put up in open spaces in Kathmandu city, and there are water tankers being ferried about. It is trickling, but it's surely not enough at all.
So water, you mentioned, is also a need, as I understand it, for shelter, for tents for people?
Yes, the government has appealed for international help even in this regard. They said that the need is for more tents, more drinking water, and heavy equipment that can be used to remove the debris.
Sanjay, what about your own family? How are you faring?
For the second consecutive night yesterday, I spent my sleepless night outside my home. Lots of fear about aftershocks. We had a really big aftershock yesterday too. Right now, we're managing with some jars of drinking water that we have stock in our own home. There's no electricity, actually, and the drinking water will be a very big problem in the coming days.
All right. Speaking from Kathmandu, Sanjay Dakkal files for the BBC's Nepali service. Mr. Dakkal, thank you.
Thank you so much, David.
Nepal is classified as a least developed country by the United Nations and had been trying to grow its economy to enter the ranks of developing countries within 7 years. Awkward transition now to financial markets. 24 minutes into the trading day, the Dow is up about 60 points. That is 0.3%, a similar percentage rise for the NASDAQ. The S&P 500 is up 0.2%. Deutsche Bank said today it will bolster its capital cushions and scale back retail banking as well as investment banking. The bank's stock is down more than 4% now. President Obama is due to report to Congress later this week on the early recommendations of a military compensation and retirement modernization commission. One of the recommendations could face a vote quickly, an overhaul of the Pentagon's pension system. Tim Fitzsimmons reports.
The new retirement plan would be mandatory for new recruits. Instead of getting half their income after 20 years of service, they'll get 40% and something new, a 401k, a sort of blended retirement benefit. Colonel Mike Barron is with the Military Officers Association of America.
We're concerned that the commission's blended retirement benefit would fail to provide the necessary draw to retain those service members.
His group says the current pension plan encourages the best to stay in. But the thing is, most people don't stay in. Only 17% of service members stay long enough to ever get the pension. That means the vast majority of veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan have no retirement at all. Under this new proposal, they'd at least have the 401k. Todd Harrison of the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments says veterans groups that oppose the changes don't see the problem that, in the current system,
they are pushing out some of their best people with this inflexible industrial-age career model.
Not all groups see it that way. The veterans of foreign wars support the changes. The proposed overhaul could come up for a vote in Congress this week. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
America's largest public utility is scaling back its nuclear expansion plans. 8 years ago, the Tennessee Valley Authority was leading what was seen as a nuclear renaissance. WPLN's Blake Farmer has the economics.
The energy sector's appetite for nuclear power has always ebbed and flowed. The plants are highly regulated, they take many years to build, and almost always cost more than anyone projected. For TVA, that means it has quite a few unfinished reactors, like this one in Spring City, Tennessee.
A lot of the concrete, all of this is back from the 90s. The reactor vessel was installed back in the 90s.
TVA engineer Frank Kuntz gave a tour inside Watts Bar Unit 2, which should be completed this year. It was supposed to be just the beginning of the utility's return to nuclear, with more unfinished reactors ready to go. But those plans are on hold.
At least in the cases we looked at, the need for a large baseload plant really doesn't show up over time.
TVA Vice President Joe Hoagland says the utility sees no need to go back to more mothballed reactors. Power demand just hasn't picked up since the recession, and not just because big industrial customers went out of business, though they did. Hoagland says consumers are more energy conscious.
Most obvious example of that would be the shift from incandescent lights to compact fluorescents.
The other unanticipated change since nuclear began making a comeback, the shale gas boom in the U.S.
The volumes of gas that they found just truly blew everybody's mind.
Richard Myers of the Nuclear Energy Institute, an industry trade group, says natural gas power plants, which are cheaper and more flexible than nuclear, are picking up any new demand at the moment. But he figures nuclear's time will still come.
I think the new plants are going to get built when they're needed, where they're needed.
It's not over till it's over.
Don Safer of the Sierra Club agrees, but not because he wants nuclear to survive. He'd prefer plants start shutting down. But considering nuclear's roller coaster history, he figures it's just a matter of time before the building boom resumes. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
Finally, Chipotle Mexican Grill says it's now finished the more than 2-year process of getting genetically modified ingredients off its menu. Corn, soybeans, and beyond. Chipotle's the first restaurant chain to do this. The FDA has deemed some crops as safe that have been genetically altered to resist pests, but Chipotle executives suggest they were responding to a wider move by consumers toward natural ingredients. Among the concerns of critics, environmental effects of genetic engineering and other unintended consequences. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.